we come to the second day of this little Triduum, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Holy Week. In the years before COVID-19 came along, this was the day when we had our Visita Iglesia pilgrimage. Every Tuesday of Holy Week, we would get up early, get into the buses, and by this time of day, what, it's 7:45, by this time of day we would have already been to a church or two, maybe, far in some distant province, starting our Stations of the Cross, two stations at 7 different churches. Well, we're not doing that this year, of course, maybe next year. Maybe we'll be able to return to that tradition. But here we are, journeying through the same liturgy. Yesterday it was 6 days before the Passover. In today's Gospel, it's Holy Thursday night. It's the Last Supper. Jesus is gathered with his disciples at the table. So between that passage that we read about yesterday and this passage, a lot of things have already happened. Yesterday was Mary anointing his feet, remember? And then Jesus enters into Jerusalem in triumph. We celebrated that on Sunday. He comes as a king, but as a humble king, not a warrior king, but a servant king. And then when we get into chapter 13, Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. In fact, that's what happens immediately before this passage. He washes their feet, which we will read about on Thursday. We already took a look at it on last Saturday when we had our Lenten recollection, because that washing of the feet of the disciples was another example of self-emptying love, that pattern which we studied on Saturday, self-emptying. So Jesus empties himself in the way that he enters Jerusalem. He empties himself when he washes the disciples' feet. And then we get to today's passage, and Jesus announces that one of the disciples will betray him. Then we learn that there are other people involved in this drama. Of course, we know that the center of this gospel is the contrast between Judas, the betrayer, and Simon Peter, the denier. Judas, the one who deliberately betrays Jesus. Simon Peter, who thinks he can remain faithful, doesn't know himself well enough to recognize his weakness. But they're not the only ones at the table. When Jesus announces that one of them will betray him, Peter makes this gesture to the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved disciple. We, and then the Catholic tradition, identifies him as John the apostle. But John himself, who wrote this gospel, is very careful not to put any name on that disciple. Who is the disciple Jesus loves? He loves all of them. It makes it possible for us to identify ourselves as that beloved disciple. He loves me. He loves you. He wants us to join him at the Last Supper and to join him in his self-emptying love. He loves Judas. I'm no expert in the traditions of Passover meals, but I've read this a few times, that gesture of dipping a portion of the food into the dish and then handing it to one of the people at the table is a gesture of tenderness, of special favor. Often it would be done by the head of the family to the youngest child or to some special guest. It's a ritual gesture of love. So when Jesus dips this morsel of food, they say it's unleavened bread, but whatever it was, he dips it and then he gives it. It's not only to indicate who the betrayer is, it's also to indicate whom he loves in a special way. Maybe the one sitting next to him, who is the beloved disciple, who we say is John, maybe it's Judas. Maybe Judas is the one who said, "Who is it?" And then Jesus said, "Well, the one I give the morsel to," and he gives it to Judas. If Judas had been on the other far away, everybody would have seen what had happened and would have heard. But as it turns out, nobody seems to know that Judas is going to be the one. They don't understand what Jesus means when he says, "What you're going to do, do quickly." It's as if Jesus reached out in a secret way to Judas. He revealed his love to Judas in a personal way. He washed Judas's feet when he washed everyone's feet. And here at the table, he gives Judas this special sign of affection. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. That was a shocker. Here we think it's Jesus with all his friends. Satan is also there. He's right there in the middle of the Last Supper. Satan is a subtle tempter, but he's also bold. He'll go anywhere, even into the church. How did it happen that Satan could enter Judas at this moment? Judas must have opened the door to him. Satan doesn't just march in when we are under the protection of Jesus. We have to close the door to Jesus and open the door to Satan if that's going to happen. And it seems something like this must have happened. When Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, Judas must have not liked that. He didn't like that kind of love on display. He was already, we know he was already a thief, but something turned him off. And then when Jesus gives Judas this special morsel of food, this special sign of tender affection, that was the last straw for Judas. He didn't want that kind of love. He wanted something else. And that's why it's at that moment, it says, Satan entered him. Judas cut off the love of God. He left the territory open for Satan. Satan will go anywhere he can. And he certainly found fertile ground in the heart of Judas. And that's what happened. So at this point, we know Judas is not acting alone. He has surrendered himself to a very powerful, evil person, spirit person, a fallen angel, Satan. And the contest is more between Jesus and Satan than between Jesus and Judas. Judas becomes an instrument in Satan's hands. So this is telling us something about these holy days, these days when we might feel like we're drawing close to holy mysteries. We might even think we're holy ourselves. Sure. But don't forget, Satan is right at the doorstep. He's behind every temptation. He's ready to move in wherever he can find an open door. Even during Holy Week, maybe even especially during Holy Week. Jesus, though, is not at all defeated by this or even intimidated by it. He knows Judas is possessed. And then he says, "What you're going to do, do quickly." Is he saying that to Judas or to Satan? Both. He's telling Satan, you have to fulfill God's plan for you in spite of yourself. You want to defeat me, but your attempt to defeat me is going to lead to my glory. And that's why the very next thing Jesus says is, now the Son of Man is glorified. Satan thinks he can laugh. Jesus has the last laugh. Whatever you do to me is going to be for my glory. I'll be glorified, my Father will be glorified, and anyone who follows me in this path of self-emptying love will be glorified. So that's the first part of the gospel. Then we get Simon Peter, who wants Jesus to be glorified, who wants to follow him, who is even willing to lay down his life for him, he says. He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He is relying on himself. Another trap. It's not the same, of course, as deliberately closing the door. But it's a danger because Peter is not opening the door. He's not relying on God. He's going to be tough. He's going to show how much he loves the Lord. I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus has to warn him, be careful. Don't think you're so strong. Don't think that you can do this yourself. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus didn't say that to make him feel bad. He tried to awaken him. Well, we know what happened, and we'll be reading and pondering more about this. But what's put on display here is what's going on behind the scenes all the time. Jesus is always offering himself. He's always following this path of self-emptying love, and he's inviting us to follow him on this path. Satan is always absolutely opposed to such a thing and will drag anybody he can on his path of rebellion. Most of us are more like Peter than Judas. We don't know what we're up to. We don't know our weakness. We have good intentions, but weak flesh. So this passage gives us an opportunity to humble ourselves before the Lord. Say, Lord, yes, I love you. You know that I love you. But you also know I need your help. I need the love that's in your heart to be poured into my heart. We'll be seeing that gift poured out from the cross on Friday. So as we prepare for the even holier days to come, we do so with humble awareness of the dangers, of our weakness, and also of the glory that is being revealed by Jesus' love.